May Jesus bless you with his peace. I'm Father Matthew Krempel at St. Mary Roman Catholic Church, Kingman, Arizona, anticipating the 4 o'clock Saturday evening Mass on this 20th day of February 2016, liturgical cycle year C, anticipating the second Sunday of Lent. First reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 5 to 12, 17 to 18, Psalm 27. Letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 17 to 4, verse 1. And the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 9, verses 28b to 36. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James, and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. And from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Last Sunday, we were reminded of the temptations of Jesus, but from a different perspective, that instead of Jesus being simply a model for our lives, that we emphasize that he is the only way to the Heavenly Father. We also saw that the only best way, if I can say it that way, is to understand why we need Jesus, is because he is the only one who can save us from the fires of hell. Yesterday in our priest education conference that we had in Phoenix, one of the younger priests raised the question to the panel that was making the presentation, "What is the basic why of all we are doing here?" And I thought that was a very good question, because the conference was telling us how to be super organized and to organize the parish in different parts and to bring about a better understanding of the gospel. I answered that for myself, as I did last Sunday. The why of spreading the gospel, the why of preaching Jesus, is precisely because without Jesus we cannot get to heaven. Without Jesus, we are bound to be cast into hell. Therefore, Jesus is the center of our lives. And we ended, you remember, last Sunday praying, "Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell." On a positive note, St. Paul today, in our second reading, writing to the Philippians, points out that our citizenship is in heaven, that our bodies will be conformed to the body of Christ Jesus, glorified because of his suffering, death, and resurrection, that his power will subject everything to himself. We long for this. We long for the coming of Jesus. We long for an end to our sufferings, to the violence, even to our discouragement about living. One way for us to experience the coming of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, is what we see in our gospel. Luke points out that Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. It is in this experience of prayer that Jesus is transfigured, is the word we use. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance. His clothing became dazzling white. And Moses and Elijah appeared to him and spoke of his exodus, of what he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. This isn't here just by trying to tell us a story, but rather Luke is trying to say that when we enter into profound prayer, when we go with Jesus to an isolated place, such as on the mountain, or maybe in the desert, or in the silence of our room, that when we put ourselves in profound prayer, that we should experience the presence of Jesus. Even when we come here to Mass, it's not that we go through the actions of the ceremony in order to fulfill our duty and obligation, but we come here to Mass to have an experience of Jesus here and now in the Blessed Sacrament, in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. It was once asked, how long should I pray? How long should one be in prayer? A spiritual director answered, until you feel the presence of Jesus. You should pray before the Blessed Sacrament. You should pray in the quiet of your room, in the desert, on the mountain, until you feel and experience Jesus. It takes not too much concentration, but it takes a lot of love and faith that the time that seems that we are using is time well spent. Many don't pray, not because it's hard, but because they feel it is a waste of time. If it's a waste of time, then Jesus wasted his time here on earth, as St. Luke, more than the other Gospels, tells us that he often went to solitary places to pray, to commune with the Heavenly Father. People say, I pray and nothing happens. I must be in the dark night of the soul,
I must not be praying right. Prayer, any prayer that we offer, is meant to be said in such a way that we know the presence of God in that very moment. We pride ourselves on being busy people, very industrial, ambitious, and busy about many things. And perhaps because of the race of life that we get ourselves into, we find it difficult to quiet down and to come to prayer. Many of our problems, many of our questions of why we suffer, many of our anxieties would be resolved by our spending time in prayer or being alone with the Lord. Those feelings of loneliness can be dissolved when we put ourselves in prayer in such a way that we not only invite Jesus to be at our side or to be in our heart, but that we also experience the reality of his love for us. If we are merely trying to get our prayers in, saying them fast, maybe bragging later that we prayed 3 rosaries or 10 rosaries today. Question is, did you experience Jesus and his Heavenly Father while you were praying those 10 rosaries? If not, you missed something very important. In our readings here, did you feel, experience something of the reality of God himself speaking to you? That's why we have these readings. The Word of God comes alive. And though we don't see physically the face of Jesus or his Heavenly Father at this moment, we know that by hearing the Word of God, or as the Father says, by listening to his Son Jesus, we have an experience of God himself. The problem with atheists and agnostics is that they don't pray because they say they don't believe. But they don't believe because they don't experience God. And it's not our fault, because they've been given the tools of how to experience God in prayer. They have rejected those tools. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Doing so, he taught them how to pray, not just words, but profoundly. Jesus, in his prayer to the Heavenly Father, is so taken up in the glory of his Father that he is changed in appearance. He shows to Peter, John, and James the glory that he has with the Heavenly Father. This isn't just for Peter, John, and James. It's for us to put ourselves in the presence of Jesus and to pray with him. Not just to him, but pray with him to the Heavenly Father. Pray until you experience the presence of God. When you have come into the presence of God through your fervent prayer, your heart stirred up in love for God, some the same spiritual director said, that might be the time for you to be able to leave. Abraham, in the first reading, was told by God to slaughter some animals, and that he was going to come and show or seal the covenant that he had made that Abraham would be the father of many nations. He did so, but he chased away the vultures, and he waited all day in solitude in the desert, praying, expecting. How many hours? 8? 10? 12? Finally, the Lord came. And Abraham had that experience firsthand of God. To your descendants I give this land, was the word of the Lord. Thus, Psalm 27, and we only get a part of it, but it is our prayer. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my life's refuge. O Lord, hear the sound of my call. Of you my heart speaks, you my glance seeks. Hide not your face from me. Do not in anger repel your servant. Do not cast me off. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. There's a section of the psalm that isn't here that is my favorite part. It says, one thing I ask of the Lord, and this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Let us pray.